Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I said this on Wednesday night, but I want to say it again. Whenever you study the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find a lot of the stories recorded in two or three or sometimes even all four of the Gospels. Now, they do not read verbatimly, and that does not mean that the Bible has contradictions in it. That's not what that means at all. That means that it is a story told through the eyes of a different individual. Matthew saw it one way, Mark saw it another way, Luke and John saw it another way. And we can leave here tonight, talk about the song that was just sung. I'll say one thing about it, you'll say another thing about it, and somebody else will say another thing about it. Does that mean that not all of us is telling the truth? No, that's not what that means. It means that we all saw it a different way. And as you study the Gospels and look at that, you've got to keep that in your mind. Now look at the way that Mark records this. He said in verse number 1, "And again he entered into Capernaum, after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch as there were no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to stop reading right there. Father, I love you. I thank you, God, for being good to us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for God, a great service so far, Lord, the great songs, Father, allowing us to do more in our missions program. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd speak in our hearts through the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Now, I love this story right here in Mark chapter number 2. And I've thought about this many times. You know, we all like to preach to that packed out house like it was right here in Mark chapter number 2. Now, here's what the Bible said in Luke chapter number 5, verse number 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there was Pharisees and doctors of law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judah and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now that is Luke telling us of the same story that we read about in Mark chapter number 2. Now I'll say this in passing, where I started a while ago, that we all as preachers that's here tonight likes to preach in the power of God to a packed out house. Well, you know the way that Jesus done that right here in this story. Luke chapter number 5 verse number 16 tells us he departed into a wilderness and prayed. If we want the power of God on our life, when we tell others about Christ, if we want God to be manifested through us, then we're going to have to pray. Amen. We're going to have to pray. There is no substitute for praying tonight. Now, Jesus right here is telling these people about the Lord. And according to Luke chapter number 5, the power of God is resting on him. And according to Mark chapter number 2 of this story, there was no room. The place was packed out. The doors were standing full of people. But they find this man that's sick of the palsy. They bring him to Jesus. And they tear the roof off of the place and let him down to Jesus. Could you just imagine sitting here tonight and all of a sudden the sheetrock start falling off the roof? Could you just imagine if we heard a chainsaw crank up and somebody started cutting the trusses and letting somebody down through the roof? Now that's what's happening in this day. Now we've got to understand the manners and the customs of that day. And you that's heard me preach out of this text will understand it, but give me just a minute for those that may not have. That roof was not sheetrock in that day. That roof was not shingles as we would know today. That roof was not plywood as we would know today. That roof was not trusses stripped with 1x4s and 10 screwed down to it. Whenever you study the roof system out of that day, that roof was simply clay is what it was. That roof was made of the dirt of the ground. It was taken on the roof and water was mixed in with it, and they made a clay that day, and that's what that roof system was made out of. Now, in order for these people to get this man to Jesus, and you've heard me say it before, there was something that had to be done. They had to get the clay out of the way to get that man to Jesus. They had to get the clay out of the way. If our time would permit us, we could go back to Genesis and study the first three chapters of Genesis, and we'll find out that God created man from what? From dust of the ground, from the dust of the ground, and he spat upon it, and he made us from the dust of the ground. The same thing that the roof system of that day was made out of is what you and I is made out of today. And if we're ever going to get anybody to Jesus, if we're ever going to win anybody that is lost, if we're ever going to have an effect on a world that's going to hell, listen, here's what we must do. We must get the clay out of the way. We've got to come to a point where we get ourselves out of the way. There's one thing, Olivia, will you go get my water off my desk? There's one thing that I believe that all preachers, and Dakota and I's talked about this probably more than any of the other preachers because of him fixing to start preaching out even more and raising support. There's one thing that we as preachers struggle with. It's a word called pride. It's a word called pride. And you said, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, if you're not careful, you will allow pride to take over in your life. You'll preach and somebody will say, man, that sure was good preaching. Man, I enjoyed that. Or somebody will get saved. And you know what will happen? You'll begin to build yourself up in pride. Now, let me take it a step further. It's something that every person in this room struggles with. We struggle with pride. We struggle with pride. We struggle with, let me tell you, and I don't want to be ugly tonight. I just want to be honest, but let me tell you the reason sometimes people wear what they do and they drive what they do is because they're trying to keep up with somebody else, and it all goes back to one word, pride. It's pride tonight. You know what pride is of? It's of the devil. And the Bible said this, pride goeth before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before the fall. So if we're going to get ourselves out of the way, I think it all goes back to one thing, crucifixion. It goes back to crucifixion. We have to crucify ourselves on a daily basis. We have to die. Crucifixion is a place of death. That's what crucifixion is. Whenever you study the crucifixion in the Bible, what was it? It was a place of death. That's what it is. And you know what you and I have to do on a daily basis? Now, you can say amen or oh me. We have to die to ourselves to be pleasing to God. You know what these four people had to do this day? To get this man to Jesus, they had to die to their self. They had to not worry about what the doctors of the law, the Pharisees, those from all of those places around that they just told us about in Luke chapter number 5, what they was going to say about them. They had to push that to the side to get a man that was lame to Jesus. You know, a lot of times we'll want to win the millionaire to the Lord and get them in our church. We want to get, everybody still awake, we want to get those that whenever they come in, we don't have to worry about what they're dressed like. We don't have to worry about what they smell. You know what Jack Kyle said? Here's what he said. He said, if you win those that no one wants, God will give you those that everyone wants. And in order to do that, we must come to a place where we die to ourselves. I got to thinking about, and I'm not going to take time to go through all the scripture, but if you was to go to Galatians chapter number 2 and Romans chapter number 6, you know what the Bible said? The Bible said that we was crucified with Christ. Right. Then according to that, we should have died to ourselves with Christ. I thought about that crucifixion. Here's three people, and I'll move on. Here's three people that viewed that crucifixion differently. Number one, whenever you think about the crucifixion, Judas was a counterfeit. Judas was a counterfeit. Judas said he was one thing, but at the end, he was something completely different. Judas was a counterfeit. Matter of fact, one book on the spiritual leader says for every 100 people that you have, you've got 10 Judases. That's what he says. For every 100 that you have. I was in a group chat. Matter of fact, this is where some of this thought come from with several preachers the other day, and that was brought up. And can I say this? You say, preacher, do you think everybody in this room is saved tonight? Absolutely not. Bible said, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? You know who the most trusted person was out of the disciples? Judas. They trusted him more than they did anybody. Who took care of the money? Judas took care of the money. They trusted him. He played the part. He walked beside of Jesus. He practically lived with him and still died and went to hell. Why? Because he had a problem with crucifixion. He never could crucify himself. He never could die. I'm not talking about going out here and driving your hands to a cross tonight. Understand what I'm saying. Judas was a counterfeit. He never could completely die to self. I thought about this one. What about Peter? I'm talking about getting somebody else to Christ. Peter was self-centered. When it comes to the crucifixion, Peter was self-centered. You know what he done? He denied the Lord. And before it was all said and done, you know what he done? He cussed. Now, I'm not saying go out and cuss, but I'm saying Peter did. Now, again, I'm not telling you to go out and cuss like a sailor, but I'm just telling you that's what happened with Peter. And let me tell you what happened with Peter. Peter was self-centered. Let me tell you the reason that we won't find that man sick of the palsy and bring him into the house of God. Number one, it might be because we're a counterfeit, but number two, it might be because we're self-centered. Again, we like to knock on the doors of the fancy houses. Well, what about those and each Sunday morning, our van workers go to some of these where you push the trash out of the way. And you push the dung from the animals that's laying in the middle of the floor of the house out of the way to try to get to somebody. Can I say something to you? If you're self-centered, you'll never get the clay out of the way and win those to the Lord. I was thinking, even today, we took Jeremiah and Bree out to eat lunch, and as we was leaving lunch, I saw some people, and I'm not stereotyping, I'm just being factual. You could tell they was not Christian people, and we stopped at the store because after every good meal, you need an almond joy. Somebody say amen right there. And I saw some of the people that, Brother Josh, they just wasn't saved people. You could just tell our spirit didn't bear witness. And you know what I done before I left? I walked over to where they was at and I talked to them a minute. I'm not saying that I'm a good person. I'm not. I fail God every day. But hear me and hear me well. If we're going to reach those that's sick of the palsy, we're going to have to crucify ourselves and get past our self-centeredness. Get past our self-centeredness. Amen. You know what? They some that lives a completely different lifestyle than we live. But you know what they need? They need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. Peter was self-centered. Judas was a counterfeit. But I thought about this when it comes to crucifixion. That's where those men was at that day. Or I don't know if it's men. I don't know if it's lady. The Bible just said he was born of four. There's four people carrying him. Can I say this? They wasn't counterfeits. Can I say this? They wasn't self-centered. But they was like John at the crucifixion who was completely committed. He went the whole way with him. He went the whole way. You know what? When it come time for Jesus to entrust his mother to somebody, who did he turn and talk to? It wasn't Judas. It wasn't a counterfeit. It wasn't that individual that was self-centered. Now, I know God used Peter's life, and he used it in a great way whenever you study it out. Hey, God used him to preach that day, and thousands. I understand that. But what else more could he have done if he wasn't self-centered? John was completely committed. And when it comes to us winning a world that is lost, and let me just back up and rephrase it. When it comes to you to winning that individual that you work with that's lost, or that individual that is your family member, or that individual that you used to run around with, when it comes to us winning them to the Lord, we're going to have to be completely committed to the things of Christ. You see, getting ourselves out of the way and getting the clay out of the way, it's simply crucifixion tonight. It's crucifying my thoughts. It's crucifying my feelings. It's doing what is maybe out of my comfort zone. Are you hearing me? Why? Because of a commitment to Christ. You ever thought about what made these four people do what they did that day? You ever thought about that? I thought about this, Brother Matthew. I wonder if one of them maybe was sick of the palsy at one time himself. Maybe one of them had been in the same shape that this individual is in. And you know what he does? He hears that Jesus is in the house. He hears what's going on because it was noised abroad that he was in the house. And he takes off down there. And as he's on his way to the church house, he looks and he sees somebody in the same condition that he once was in. And you know what he does? He goes back and he talks to him and he realizes he can't get him there by himself. There is some things that we can't do alone. And we have to cooperate the help of others. So he goes and finds this one and this one and this one, and maybe they had been healed. Maybe God had done something miraculously in their life. And you know what they do? They grab this man and they head toward Jesus. They knew there was nothing they could do to heal them themselves. The only thing that they could do was get him to where Jesus was at. There is things that we cannot fix in our own self. Are you hearing me? There is things. I've talked to a couple individuals today, and I'd never call no names, but I've talked to a couple individuals today that's praying for the same person and didn't even know that they was, but they're praying for the same person. That individual's an alcoholic. And you know what? If I could go over there and I could lay my hand on their head and I could pray a prayer and take all that addiction and that craving out of them, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. I wouldn't be preaching to you tonight. I would be where they're at and I'd be putting my hand on them and I'd be praying over them. But hear me, I can't do that. But what I can do is get a hold of the bed and try to get them to where Jesus is at. And point them to somebody that will transform their life. Maybe the reason that they crucified their flesh that day and decided that they was going to tear the roof off of the house is because they was in the same condition as that individual was at one time. So, preacher, what happens when we get ourselves out of the way? I've got three things wrote down. I'll not preach them all. I'll just give you the first one. What happens when we get ourselves out of the way? Can I say this? We'll see the plight of the sinner. The condition of the true condition of the sinner. Let me tell you the problem with the addict today. It's one word, sin. Amen. Let me tell you with the problem with the individual that's living an alternate lifestyle that is not in accordance to the Word of God. The problem with a man marrying a man and a woman marrying a woman, that it's completely contradictory to the Word of God. Now you can holler amen and we'll get on past this. Let me tell you the problem with that tonight. It's sin. That is the problem with that tonight. It's not a condition. Well, I will say this. It is a condition they was born with. It's called sin. We was all born with the same condition. And it comes down to a place in our life where we have to make a choice. Amen. God gave Adam and Eve a choice that day in the garden, and they chose to reject God and go to the world. And that is the problem with men and women and young people all across this nation tonight. They're choosing the world over the Savior. That's The problem tonight is sin. The condition of the sinner. I thought about this. The condition of this man, he was lame. He was lame. The Bible even tells us that he was lame of his feet. Maybe somebody runs by and he hollers, "Where are you going?" And they say, "We heard that Jesus is in the house and we're going down there." Maybe Jesus or maybe the man that's lame looks at him and says, "Will you take me?" And they never slow down. He's lame. He's at a place where he can't fix his condition by himself. And let me tell you the condition of the world today, they're lame. They're in a place where they cannot fix it. I am not agreeing with their lifestyle. I'm not saying their lifestyle is all right. I'm not being sympathetic to their lifestyle. They chose that lifestyle. But at the end of the day, they're lame. They're lame because of sin. I thought about this. The man was lame, but I thought about this. They're lost. They're lost. They're lost. Do we really realize? Do we really? I don't think we do, Brother Heron. The condition of most of the people that we're around. They're going to die and go to hell one day. They're going to die and go to hell one day. There's a feller that over the past... There's two different individuals over the past month and a half, Brother Ramsey, that I began to get to know more. And the other night, I was able to be with one of them by myself for a little while. And I'm getting to know them more. And here probably this week, they're going to probably either get a phone call, a personal visit, or a text message that says this: "I sure would love for you and your wife and youngins to come to church with me Sunday morning." There's a chance that they're lost. This world is going to go to hell while we as the saved sit back in our comfort zone. While we come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and enjoy the presence of the Holy Ghost of God without telling them where they can get help at. They're lost. They need the Lord. I thought about this. He was left all alone. He was lame. He was lost. And he was left all alone. Nobody to care for him. Nobody to care for him. Nobody to say, "I love you, man." Nobody to say, "God sure does love you." I wonder how many in our community today is lame, lost, and left all alone. But preacher, do we want them in our church? I mean, in all honesty, if we was to hear the testimonies of every person sitting in here tonight, there's probably some that had the testimony of that individual on the street today. But somebody got the clay out of the way and came to where they was at and loved them and witnessed to them and told them about a God that would change their life. And that is the only reason they're here today. I want you to come start playing softly. I want to ask you a question tonight. Does it bother you? Does it even faze us that people that we possibly brush shoulders with on a daily basis could be on the road to hell? This man right here, he had no hope unless somebody got him to Jesus. We heard Brother Jeremiah preach this morning. That man was dead. He was in what the world's eyes would view as a hopeless situation. But aren't you glad that we've got a God that works in hopeless situations? I know what God can do for their life. I know how God can change their life. I know that there is a God in heaven. I'm glad that there's more to life than waking up with a hangover. I'm glad that there's more to life than shooting my veins full of some kind of drug. I'm glad that there's more to life than living a lie and swapping mates on the weekend. There's more to life than that. There's more to life than that. I'm glad that my children can grow up in a home where the Bible is read, where prayer is made. There's more to life than what this world has. And the thing about it is this, church, it's up to us. It's up to us to take it to. It's up to us. I want to ask you, are you a counterfeit? Are you self-centered? Or are you committed? When we go back to getting the clay out of the way, are you really saved? Only you and God knows that. Are you self-centered? I'm just going to be real. I'm just going to be real with you. There have been 60 or 70 names on that sign-up sheet for visitation. I'm just too busy. What if when it come for somebody to share the gospel with you, they was too busy? Where would you be tonight? I just can't talk to people, preacher. What if the preacher that preached the night that you got underneath conviction had that same excuse? I'm just being honest with us tonight, church. I'm just being honest with us. Do we want the lowing of the presence of God that I preached on Wednesday night? It takes the going to do that. It takes the going to do that. Self-centeredness is killing our churches today. It's killing our churches. It's killing our churches. I'm too busy, preacher. I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do this. You do realize that there's coming a day that the Lord's going to come back. And we're going to stand before God. And us as the saved, we're not going to stand before God and give an account for our sins. Our sins is paid for. The sin debt is paid. That is, Brother Dakota, when we stand in the presence of God, we're justified from sin. We are, study the word, we're justified. Let me tell you what we're going to give an account for. We're going to give an account for what we've done for Him. Our works is what we're going to give an account for. I don't work to be saved. I work because I am saved. That's what we're going to give an account to God for. You ever thought about that great white throne judgment when those people are being cast off into hell? They're bound hand and foot and cast off into hell. And the reason that they're bound is because that's the only way I personally think they could get them out of the presence of God, because they don't want to leave the throne of God, because they know that they're going to be eternally damned in a place called hell. If you ever, we're going to be there. That judgment seats just the saved. The lost is not going to be there. That's during the 7 years of tribulation. That's just us being judged for our works. But at that great white throne judgment, a courtroom like you've never saw before, and we stand in the presence of God that day, and our lost family members stand before God and are cast off into hell, and they walk past us screaming, "Why did you never tell me about God?" Those people that we worked with, as they're cast off into hell, "Why did you never tell me about God?" And let me tell you what the answer for the biggest part of it is. It's one word: pride. Self-centered. Oh, I can talk to them about guns, and I can talk to them about fishing, I can talk to them about hunting, I can talk to them about shopping, I can talk to them about makeup. Well, I just can't talk to them about the Lord. And He's the one that done everything for you. He's the one that done everything for me. When we see that one lame tomorrow, when we see that one lost tomorrow, when we see that one longing for affection tomorrow or tonight, may we not walk by them as Peter in self-centeredness. And may we not walk by them as Judas, as a counterfeit. But may we humble ourselves and become obedient to Christ and realize that it's a soul that Jesus loves, that Jesus, every boy and girl, every man and woman He loves. And may we tell them about God. The Lord's coming soon. There's no doubt about it. Right now, Brother Dakota, there's over 5 million teenagers living on the streets. Over 5 million. Preacher, they're rebellious. I don't want them in the church. Well, I tell you what, I sure do. And if they cut the backs out of the church van, if they cut the pews, if they track mud in, it's a soul for which Jesus gave His life for. And if Jesus can die on a cross, if He can become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, may God smack our prideful heads down back to humility and cause us to get a burden, to get a burden for those that's going to hell.